Good morning, everybody. Are we enjoying this beautiful weather? God, you know, typical British, isn't it? Always want more. Yeah. No. See you all. We're looking this morning at facing giants. And when we think of giants, we've already mentioned Goliath today. And if I said to you right at the beginning, if I said to you giants, what would you think of? The other thing you might think of might be the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. It came to my mind because I've been doing it with the grandchildren. What other giants would you think of?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Andre the Giant.
Whoever he is.
No.
Yep. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, because the giants of today aren't necessarily humongous people. We're looking at modern day giants that we might be facing, because they're not all made of flesh and blood, are they? They come in other forms: addictions, flaws, shortcomings, temptations, blind spots, trials. Anything that's bigger than us, stronger than us, maybe faster than us, anything that's more painful than us. Sorry, powerful than us. It could be more painful as well. Freudian slip there. See, problems and concerns can seem like giants to us. Health problems can seem like giants. Financial problems can certainly seem like giants that we can't overcome. Marital problems. Governmental problems, you know, government that seems to be not doing what we think is right for the people. Employment problems, bringing up children problems, even when they're grown up. And these giants have names, don't they? They might be things like Visa or MasterCard. Your mortgage, recession, terrorism, cancer, arthritis, drug addictions, infidelity, violence, on. There are so many. And like Goliath, these giants could cause us to stop in our tracks, to feel powerless, useless. They can intimidate and make us afraid. I was reading a book by a guy, and he was talking about how as a child, when he went to school, this big lad came to him and said, "I want your lunch money." And after several weeks of this lad taking his lunch money every day, he decided that he was going to take up karate so he could learn to stand up for himself. And he went for a few lessons, and it was costing him a bit of money. And it was a bit painful because, you know, if you're going to do karate, probably, you know, you have to go through a bit of a pain barrier as well. And he was still going to have to face the bully. So in the end, he stopped doing the karate and just carried on paying the lunch money every day throughout his school life. And that's what we can do with giants. We can decide to just give in and just let them have their way. For all we know, the Israelites might have still been sitting on that hill if David hadn't come along. Goliath might have kept on coming and making that challenge every day. So, and the good news is that we have and we can see people who have stood up and faced their giants and walked away victorious. People who stood toe to toe with giants and overcome. The giants don't have to win. I'm a bit echoey, Diana. Oh, it certainly sounds it here. And the most famous story, of course, is David and Goliath, who he takes a stand against him and he defeats him. And you can read the full story in Samuel, but the headlines are this: the nation of Israel has been taunted by this huge giant from the Philistines and saying, "Come on, come on, anybody want to come and take me on? If I beat you, we take over all of you. If you can beat me, then we'll be subservient to you." In my notes, I put that he was, because book I was reading, it said that he was actually over 10 foot tall and built like a brick house. He was a big, big man. And David is the youngest son of Jesse. Not big enough or old enough yet to go and fight in the war. He's at home looking after the sheep. And then his father says to him, I want you to take this food to the army camp for your brothers. Because obviously they still need to be fed. So he took the loaf of food and he said, and I want you to go and find them and see how they're doing. See how they are. So he delivers the food. And he goes right up to the front, the battle front, to find out how his brothers are. And this is where it gets interesting. Because when he hears Goliath shouting out his threat and seeing all the Israelites hiding and cowering away, he says, what's going on? In his mind, he can't understand why God's people, God's army, would be cowering to a mere man. And so he says, I'm going to fight Goliath. And Saul said, you can't go and fight him. You're not much more than a boy. And this is what David says to him. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. What faith. What a heart. I don't know if you could really imagine it. Somebody twice the size almost. Huge. Humongous. So the king says to him, okay, you can go and fight him then, all right. And then he gives him his armour to put on and makes him put on all this stuff. And David's standing there and he's thinking, I can't move. It's too heavy for me, it's too cumbersome. I'm used to being light on my feet. So he takes the armour off and says, I'm not wearing it. And he goes out armed with only what he would normally be armed with, his staff and his sling. And do you know what? There are some sling experts. They're literally experts on slings and the use of slings. And they have looked into this. And this sling would have been a leather pouch with two pieces of rope attached to it, one on either end. And David would have picked up, it wasn't a pebble, it would have been a rock. It was bigger than a pebble. And when they swing it round at a speed of about 6 times a second. So we're not talking about a little, here we go. We're talking about a real, like that, and then letting it go. And that rock went so fast, they reckon it was between 33 and 35 miles an hour. Between 33 and 35 metres a second. So Goliath would have been somewhere probably 70 to 100 feet away. David would have been staying far enough back that he wasn't going to have to do one-on-one combat. He knew he couldn't beat Goliath on a one-to-one. Goliath's got his sword and his shield, and that he'd have cut David to ribbons. He's standing far enough back. And he gets his sling and he flings it. And this rock embeds itself in his forehead and he goes flat on his face. And you might think, well, David's done enough. But no, he goes and finishes the job. He goes and gets a sword and he chops off his head and holds it up. And that's an important thing, actually. It's not about just having the quick win. It's about the long-term win. It's about finishing it off. So if you've got this giant and you deal with it, you need to deal with it completely. Otherwise, they might come back to have a go at you again. And David, before he killed Goliath, he said to him this. He said, you come against me with sword, spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So when we face our giants, we don't need to do it in our own strength. We need to do it with the strength of God. And we're not doing it for ourselves. We are doing it so that we can be one with our God and live out his purposes and live in relationship and communion with him in the way that he wants to. Not cowering, not living in fear. God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to be able to live upright. Not arrogant and posturing, but upright because we are right with God and we are feeling good about our lives. So, David kills Goliath, and what do the Philistines do? They run. They turn and they run, and they are chased. They are chased by the Israelites and overcome. Some practical things to remember. David didn't try to take David on in Goliath's way. He didn't try and take him on against Goliath's strengths. He knew he wouldn't be able to beat him. He took him on with his strengths and with the power of the Lord with him. See, sometimes we might think we've got to go head on. But David wasn't stupid. He used his brain. He used wisdom and experience. And when we've lived the Christian life and we've had those battles and we've overcome, we should learn from them. And when we've had battles where we've had to withdraw because we haven't overcome that time, we need to learn from those as well so that our wisdom grows. Do you know what? I think David would have been really scared. I don't believe he went up in front of Goliath not scared. He was confident in God, but that wouldn't have stopped him being scared. And sometimes I think we think we're being sinful because we worry or we're fearful or we're scared. That's an emotion that God has given us. But he's given his Holy Spirit so that we can overcome those and we can move on. So they're not bad things in themselves. In fact, if we didn't know fear, we would just walk out in front of the car, wouldn't we, and get run over. If we didn't know fear, we would put our hand in the fire. We don't do it because we are fearful it will hurt and it will damage us. So as David knew he couldn't go and fight Goliath hand to hand, we need to make sure we don't fight the giant in a way that we can't handle. So we need to seek wisdom about how to do it. But you see, the problem the Israelites had was they were listening to the wrong voice. In the morning and in the afternoon, they would be listening to Goliath giving it that. Because not only was he a big man, but he had a big mouth and he was shouting the odds at God's people. And they were listening to that rather than listening to God, who said, I will deliver you. I am here for you. I will take you to where you need to be, and I'm going to take you to the promised land. They had a gold bond. God had told them he was going to get them there, and he was going to look after them. So somebody should have had the ability to turn and say, God's saying, no, we just take him on. But did they know? They listened to Goliath. David didn't. He listened to God. So be careful who you are listening to. I need to ask, are any of you feeling today that you are keeping your head down a bit because you're a bit afraid of taking that next step? Thank you. Are any of you here feeling a bit angry because life isn't treating you as well as you might have hoped? Somebody might be that you love might be in real pain. Are you feeling bitter? Are you feeling fearful of moving on in your lives? Any of these and loads more will slow you down. You know, if you have a computer and you fill it with enough rubbish, it gets slower and slower and slower, doesn't it? Our lives can be like that. When we fill it full of rubbish, when we don't keep the channels clear, when we're not focusing on God, we can be pulled down to a snail's pace, even it may be a dead stop. The other thing we can do is that we can decide we're going to live with the giant. Well, actually, we can cope. We may be too fearful to do anything, but actually, if we stand far enough back, we can just about keep going. We can still turn up to church. We can still pray. We can still do a little bit, but we'll just make sure we don't get too close to that giant because we don't want to get hurt. We can't afford to accept the presence of the giant. Because when we get hindered in our movement with God, when we get stopped from serving God, when we get stopped from having that wholesome relationship with God, there's only one way you go. You don't stand still for long. Pretty soon you start going backwards. And then you think, oh, well, do you know what? I'm really struggling to pray now because, well, I haven't spoken to God for a week. Where do I start? I haven't read the word. I haven't sort of focused on wanting to do what Jesus wanted me to do for a little while. And how can I start again? And like with most giants, the thought of it is worse than actually dealing with it. I don't know about you, but if I was naughty as a child, that first moment of getting back in contact with my parents, whether it be when they came back in the room or anything else, was always the bit I dreaded most. Do you remember that? You know, we think, oh, what are they going to say? How's it going to go? What's going to happen? And I would be dreading it and dreading it. And yes, I might have got told off. I might have had some sort of punishment, but it was never as bad as I thought it might be. And once it was dealt with, I was able to get on and move on. And if we decide we're just going to live with those giants, with those fears, the bitterness, the anger, it will slow us down. It will harm us. You see, David didn't go into the battlefield unprepared. He had had years of experience with this sling. Years of experience. And he wouldn't have started attacking the lions. He would have been practicing. When he was out in those hills with the sheep, he would have been practicing on other things. I don't know, maybe lizards or maybe just stones on top of a rock. He'd have been taking practice, aiming, and getting his shot right to the point that when he really needed it, he was good enough to do it. And also his relationship with the living God was a real relationship that he nurtured and he loved and he continued to commune with God. So when this time came, he was in a good place with God where he totally trusted God and he got the necessary skills to do what was needed to be done. And that's what we need to be like. So we don't need to wait for the crisis to get to know God better. Get to know God better when things are going okay. You know, build the friendship, build the relationship, find the joy of worship. I don't know whether how much you enjoy worshiping when you're on your own. But if we can learn to do that, then our worship together will be so much better. But actually, if we can learn to worship on our own, we can allow God to just do those things in our lives just on a daily basis and keeping us fresh, keeping us ready to serve. And the other thing that David did was that he expected God to help him. He expected God to help him because he knew God's promise and he knew what God had said. So when he went there before Goliath, he knew he probably would only have one shot. But he also knew and he expected that God would help him. You see, as our faith grows, as our experience grows, we can then go on to tackle bigger things. Jesus himself said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Remember when he was dealing with the blind people? According to your faith, let it be done unto you. You know, what we have is not religion. It's faith. It's faith in a living God. And faith means believing in what you can't necessarily tangibly see or feel. But our faith grows when we experience God's love, when we experience God's presence, when we experience God's help in the small things. And our faith can then grow and grow. If we don't, we will cower to the giants. We will be like that guy at school who continued to pay his lunch money to the bully every day because he wouldn't face up to what needed to be done. So will we pay an allegiance to the devil because we're not prepared to face the giant? Or do we want to put God first and say, no, we will do it, but we'll do it with God's help? I think one of the most valuable lessons in Scripture is that there is no giant too big for our God. It may be too big for you on your own, but with God and with God's people, we can overcome all things. Whether it be financial calamity, persecution, disease, sickness, even death, every giant can be defeated. Life is going to present us all with tough situations. We could go home in an hour's time and get some news that almost turns our life upside down. And we can either let it become this huge giant, or we can say, in God I will put my trust. I will seek to deal with this in a way with God. And I can't give you all the answers to that, but if you've got those sort of situations, we can chat and we can pray and we can see if we can find ways forward. But David said this, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. If we go into through life saying, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, my God, and I will do it in your strength, I will do it in his strength, and I will not let you have your way in my life. Now, I know that's a lot easier to say than to do. But if you feel that your life has slowed down, if you feel that your walk with God isn't as great as it might be, then look and see if there are things that you are hiding away from, that you are cowering away from. Are there things that you're not prepared to deal with? And do you want help with that? Do I want help with that? This is something that each of us need to be aware of all the way through our walk with God. Don't give away. Don't give your way to the giant or to the bully or to the horrific situation that's in front of you. Hold on to those truths that you have experienced and known with God and allow him to help you through. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are indeed a great God. You don't look for the strongest. You don't look for the most handsome or the prettiest. You look for the heart. The heart that is on fire for you. The heart that is full of love. The heart that wants to serve. And Father, that's what you want us to be. A people who want to serve and live our lives for you. Where justice means more than comfort. Where seeing needy people and vulnerable people being helped is more important than our own comfort. Where we stand up against those who cause hurt and pain for others. And Father, sometimes these things seem so huge that we don't even know where to start. But Father, will you help us to start with you and allow you through your Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, and that with friends and with others that we might stand and overcome those giants that are causing us to be slowed down or cowering in our walk with you. So Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.